You know, in the Gospels, we're told that large crowds followed Jesus. Well, I think there are large crowds who have followed Father Fabio here tonight. There are some here from the Portuguese parish, and so I want to acknowledge your presence as well. And Father Victor Somoza, who is here, who is taking over a short-term assignment of caring for the people of Our Lady of Fatima. He currently is studying in Rome, but he is a priest of the diocese in Brazil of Father Fabio. And I'm very grateful as a bishop for the missionary spirit, the desire to serve, and to go to different and distant countries, knowing that the Lord calls each of us in our vocations to a certain path. Today, we see the vocation of St. Peter. It is a very pivotal moment in Mark's gospel. As a matter of fact, it is the first time in which Jesus, in Mark's gospel, tells his disciples and those who are following him of his impending suffering, his death, and his resurrection. It comes at a time when the previous miracle that he had performed was the restoration of sight to the man who was blind. And Mark is telling us that as Christians, we need to have our eyes and our blindness healed. And sometimes we do not see that as the path of the cross. And this is where Peter, still in a state of spiritual blindness, rebukes Jesus and says that this should not happen to him. Now, Peter was really projecting on Jesus, for he himself did not want to, in a sense, think about this path of suffering and of death. But the cross reveals to us the true identity of God and Christ. And so Jesus was inviting him to this path of coming to know and to accept that Jesus truly was the Son of God. Jesus reminded Peter, and he reminds us that if we are to be his followers, there are two things. We're first asked to deny ourselves and then to pick up our cross and to follow him. I would say that it's not a message that is of the world. It is not a message that many people would necessarily choose unless called by God. And this is what Jesus was inviting Peter to do. He was being called by God to this vocation. And the faith of Peter, even though it was tested, and even though Peter denied our Lord, we see that in God's plan of salvation, Christ was going to take his profession of faith and to make that the foundation in which you and I continue to live and to celebrate in what we know to be the church that Christ has entrusted to the apostles, to you and I, and for us to continue to give witness to the cross. On Friday evening, I was invited to go to the Ukrainian Catholic community of St. Stephen's. And there were two communities joined together, two communities that were experiencing in their own countries of origin, great suffering. You had the Ukrainian Catholic community, and you had the Greek Malachite Catholic community. And it was interesting that in this feast on Friday, which we celebrated in anticipation of yesterday, it is known as the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. There are two moments in our life of faith each year in which the symbol of the cross becomes the focal of our expression of faith. We celebrate and venerate the cross on Good Friday. We recognize that this devotion and veneration is the beginning of Christ's descent, but also his resurrection. And this is what we celebrate on the exaltation of the cross. It is a glory and the victory that comes from that act of self-denial, that willingness to give his life for you and I. In that ceremony, I couldn't help but think the number of individuals and families, the cross of suffering and of death, of violence that their loved ones are experiencing both in Greece and in Europe, in Ukraine, and many of us know and see it, but we need to be reminded that the cross of Christ is no stranger to our humanity. And this, in the celebration, was an interesting part of their devotion, for they make the procession of the cross. And we, as a church, have the devotion each time we come into the church, that we can make the stations of the cross. We can make a spiritual pilgrimage each time, following in the footsteps of Christ. And how many times when we make that devotion, we come to a station and we can see and remember that there are loved ones and people who are experiencing this same reality. But in that celebration, the cross without the corpus moved through the church, and then the cross led the people out into the parking lot, into the park. And in their tradition, to show a sign of exaltation, three bonfires are lit. As the cross goes to the first one, the bishop is given the torch to light it, that the cross of Christ becomes a light of faith. And then the two priests of each community lit each of the subsequent bonfires. It is a reminder in various traditions that the cross holds a central part in our Christian faith. But I hazard to guess that we don't necessarily preach about it that often. And so today the readings that we have had provide for us a further reflection. For as we heard in that first reading, the prophet Isaiah is the suffering servant. He is the prefigurement of Christ. He has been chosen by God. The word of God has touched his life. It has nourished him, and it has compelled him to witness to that word. And the result of it is persecution. It is the prefigurement of Christ, who is the incarnate word, who will proclaim salvation, but only through his death on the cross. And why is we as Christians should see in our life of faith, in the ordinariness of what we are called to do each and every day, that somehow the cross should be part of our daily experiences. It is difficult to bear our crosses when we know that we have to do it alone. And why it is important for families and communities such as parishes to lift up those who are burdened by the cross. How we offer prayers for those who are suffering illness. We pray for those who are in situations of distress throughout the world. It is through prayer that we are reminded that the cross is being borne by many people. And ultimately, we pray for those who have died, that truly their faith in the mercy and the salvation of God will be given to them. These are but simple ways in which we call to mind the cross, but each vocation, each path of the Christian life will always find its way to the cross of Christ. Today, We celebrate the installation of a priest, a pastor, who comes to us from a country, not of Canada, but of Brazil. He comes here to serve, to be present, and to offer to you through his ministry. In the installation of a pastor, he will first lead us in the profession of our faith, and then he will make his oath of fidelity, which is a further sign of what he committed to at the time of his ordination. And then, in a simple rite, I will lead him to each of the stations of the sacraments that we celebrate, the sacraments that remind us of the death and the resurrection of Christ, first in baptism, then to the celebration of reconciliation, then here to the station where the oils are there for the sick. I then remind him of the importance of the Word of God and preaching it to you, the people of St. Peter's. I also remind him of his duty to pray the office for the church and for you. And I will invite you to pray for your new pastor. And then I take him to the altar and remind him and us of the ultimate summit of the Christian life, which is the celebration of the Eucharist. The altar is always the cross of Christ. It is always the place in which the sacrifice of Christ is renewed each and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, for that is what Christ passed on to the apostles at the Last Supper. It was a sign, a prefigurement of the sacrificial love that he would give for the world, and that we as Christians receive and celebrate when we celebrate the Eucharist together. And then I take him to the chair, and I remind him of the outward signs and symbols of his priestly commitment, that it is the stole and the chasuble that he received at ordination. It is at that moment, officially, yes, by the appointment of a letter, but more importantly, for the bishop to come and to be among the people and to install your new pastor and to thank you for your support and prayers for all of the priests who have served you here in St. Peter's, for it is through their ministry that the sacramental life of the church is offered to you and to the world. I ask that you continue to pray for him and for Father Jonathan, that they will be faithful and generous in carrying out their priestly duties in service of you, the people of God.